This message, entitled The Trumpet Call Times 3, Time to Retire, was delivered to Christ our Rock Bible Church on December 30th, 2018 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren, Jr. The scripture reference is 2 Samuel 11, 1-15. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. For she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, so she sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." Then David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah had come to him, David asked how Joab was doing, and how the people were doing, and how the war prospered. And David sent to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah departed from the king's house, and a gift of food from the king followed him. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and did not go down to his house. So when they told David, saying, "Uriah did not go down to his house," David said to Uriah, "Did you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house?" And Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are dwelling in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go to my house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do this thing." Then David said to Uriah, "Wait here today also, and tomorrow I will let you depart." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. Now when David called him, he ate and drank before him, and he made him drunk. And at evening he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but did not go down to his house. In the morning it happened that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, "Set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retreat from him, that he may be struck down and die."
Amen. Thank you. Lord, we want to just thank you for the time you give us today to be about your truth. I pray, Lord, we'd never really take it for granted. We'd never just kind of slough it off and say, "Well, that's the normal." I want to thank you, Lord, it is the normal, that we can gather and we can trust your Holy Spirit, dear God, to give us the truth of your holy word. Not everybody can count on that, dear God. Not everybody can. But I want to thank you, Lord, that it's your doing. It's your spirit that causes it to be true. It's nothing of me, dear God. I just simply want you to be glorified. I just want your name exalted and lifted high. I just want you, dear God, to be known for who you really are. And as we transition, Lord, from the Christmas season to the season of Epiphany, we must indeed, dear God, recognize who you are and why you came. We want to thank you and praise you, dear God, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. 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 The trumpet call times three. The trumpet call times three. The second half of the title is Time to Retire. Could put it in a sentence form and say, is it time to retire? But time to retire? Question mark. I'm not saying it is. I'm asking the question, is it time to retire? Story is told of a fellow named John. This most likely is Johnny grown up. Johnny was the subject of a lot of illustrations in the past. No. It turns out John would be retiring. For years, he set the alarms as late as possible. He got up and he showered and shaved and then gulped down a cup of coffee as his wife fried his eggs sunny side up to save time. Sunny side up. Then the day came. John got up late, took a leisurely shower, and joined his wife for a typical breakfast. It was his first day of retirement. "Dearest," he said to his wife, "would you mind frying my eggs a little harder and making coffee a little less strong from now on? I don't really like soft eggs and strong coffee." "Well, I've been fixing your eggs and your coffee that way for the past 42 years, and I've never heard you complain about it." To which he responded, "Dear, I've never had the time to tell you before." Time and retirement go hand in hand in more than one way. Time and retirement go hand in hand. I've even thought about it myself. I mean, I'm almost 68. I recently took a fall, as you know, broke my hand. This past week, as I was typing up these notes for this message, it wasn't easy. I can still use the four fingers and the thumb on the one hand, but I only got three total available on the other, as it is all bound up in a cast. Not to mention my sore shoulder on the other side, on the other arm. A few weeks ago, Cindy entered into a nursing home due to her bout with Alzheimer's. Part of me starts to think that I could use some time, that I could use some time off just to deal with life. So, is it time to retire? At the same time, even as I say those words, I know the whole thing is in God's hands. He is ultimately in control, and he has a purpose for everything that comes our way. It doesn't mean it's necessarily his good and perfect will. He may be allowing somebody to go in a wrong direction, because he does give people free will. But the fact is, he's going to use it. He'll let them go in that direction. But it's for a purpose. Everything that comes our way has a purpose. Last August, I spent a good bit of a month dealing with a serious case of pancreatitis and subsequent blood clots. As far as I know, I still have the blood clots. They told me in the hospital, before I was released from the one unit to go down into the therapy unit for another week's stay, the doctor basically said, "You almost died. You almost died." You're all aware, those of you that are here, of course, that it was the same problem for Cheryl. She had pancreatitis. In fact, the same timeline. She started to feel lousy on Thursday. By Sunday, real bad. And then on Monday, when I was being admitted into the hospital, it's not the same day, but I'm talking about the timeline. Cheryl did pass away. As I considered the whys and the wherefores with regards to my situation, the only thing I could figure in my case is that the Lord wanted me to continue the work that he began decades ago through this ministry. At the same time, don't try to make a correlation from that to Cheryl. Everybody's different. God's got a different purpose for different people at different times. You know that she did much for this church. You know she was very actively involved in the various season changes and the decorating and all of these things. And they all meant very much to her. It was very symbolic. Okay? Symbolism in everything. She would come up with the funeral arrangements. Beautiful funeral arrangements. Beautiful flower arrangements, as you can see, even that we have up here. And everything meant something. The use of this flower, the use of this fern, the use of this other thing in the arrangement. Even the vase. There was usually symbolism to go along with all of it. Now, that so what I'm saying about me is not to say that she was all washed up, so to speak, or she was done. God didn't want her to do any of those kind of things again. I'm not saying that. What I will say is that I want to ask you just honestly, who ended up with the better deal? You know, I get to stay here to continue to fall, continue to hurt myself, continue to have surgeries, and all of these kind of things. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to continue to be about, you know, giving God's heart out, okay? But people, this lady's in heaven.
Everything's happy in heaven.
Amen? There's no falling. There's no cast. There's no broken anything. Amen? It's all good. And really, I want to tell you something here. I've been reading lately a book from Alistair Begg, and he makes it real clear. Everything works for the good for those that are called according to God's purpose, those that love him and are called according to his purpose. So even though we could look at it and say, well, you know, I wish I could be in heaven too. There's a reason and a purpose that God has for each and every one of us to be exactly where we are. Amen? Here or not here. It's God's purpose. I think this is crucial that we understand this. I don't want you to get me wrong either. I'm not even beginning to suggest that people aren't allowed to retire. Of course, you work all your lives, you get down to the end, and you can go ahead and retire. We're not talking about that. But the whole thing, I think, did remind me, it brought to mind exactly what does God mean when he uses the word retire? Do you wonder that? Do you think he's just talking about people coming to the end of a long job and wanting some time off? No, he's not talking about that per se. There's much more to this word retire. And we're going to be taking a look at that. And I'm thankful for it. It's another one of those R-E words. Retire. I want to illustrate this, though, first with a true story. You've probably heard of Philip Bliss. He was born to a very musical family. Parents loved to sing. They lived in a log cabin in the northern Pennsylvania woods. He left home to work at the age of 11 and was born again a year later. He spent his teen years in lumber camps and sawmills, but he loved music and he did his best to pursue that as well. With an old horse named Fanny, and a $20 melodeon, he started to travel as a professional music teacher. In 1858, he married Lucy Young, a musician and poet in her own right, encouraging him to develop his own skills. He wrote his first composition in 1864. Praise God. And it was very well received. He found himself in great demand, conducting musical institutes, giving concerts, and composing Sunday school melodies. D.L. Moody, the famous evangelist, championed his work, using some of his songs like Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, or Jesus Loves Even Me, or How About Wonderful Words of Life, and so many others. Praise God, he also wrote the music for the hymn It Is Well With My Soul. And then it happened. During the Christmas holidays of 1876, the Bliss family visited his mother in Pennsylvania. On December 29th, 142 years ago, they boarded a Pacific Express train in Buffalo to return to Chicago. About 8 o'clock that evening, in a blinding snowstorm, the train crossed a ravine and the old trestle collapsed. The cars were packed with holiday travelers, plunged 75 feet into the icy river below, and caught fire. Over 100 people perished in that wreck, among them Philip Bliss, as well as his young family. He was only 38 years of age. His extremely productive life on this earth was over. Amen? Whether you think it should have been or not is not the point. God's in control. It was over. All right? But not entirely. I see the same thing with Cheryl, you know. She's not here to go ahead and set all this up and all of that, but it lives on. It lives on. Amen? Lily? Yeah, I know. I said that right up. My first thought was God needed somebody to decorate heaven for Christmas. Yeah. It turns out the family's trunk had been placed on another train, and it arrived in Chicago safely. Inside, his friends found his last hymn that he had just written. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Amen? While he and his family did not live on physically, their music and their ministry did and does. In fact, you can look in your own hymnal and you can find several of his songs. It'll be down there in the left-hand corner, but it'll tell you that he wrote the music. And I'm sure you're going to find several of his tunes in there if you ever took a look through. In fact, I think there's a section of the hymnal in the back that has all the tunes listed, and you could probably find it real quick there. There's probably several. And every one of them glorifying the Lord, even beyond the grave. So spiritually speaking, do we ever really retire? Spiritually speaking, I want to mention one last proof of an ongoing life lived for the Lord. Now listen to this. Among those mourning the deaths of Philip Bliss and the other victims of that Pacific Express was the president-elect of the United States, Rutherford B. Hayes. He was the president-elect. He would soon be officially proclaimed the winner of the 1876 election by only one electoral vote. Can you imagine that? That's how close it was. And this guy loved Jesus. The nation was reeling at the time from Reconstruction of the Civil War, economic depression, political scandals of Ulysses S. Grant. Hayes brought to the presidency a keen mind, a love for literature, and courage. In the Civil War, he was wounded 4 times and had 4 horses shot out from under him, and still made it through. He also had a secret weapon, his wife, Lucy. I thought it was interesting that Philip Bliss's wife was named Lucy, and now this follower of the Blisses, her name is Lucy too. I just thought that was interesting. He married her on December 30th, 1852. People, that's 142 years ago today. Yay. Yeah, today. Lucy brought to Washington a college degree. She was the first president's wife to ever have one. A gift for hospitality and an open commitment to Jesus Christ. very open, and she didn't bring any alcohol with her. She banned it. Official Washington was absolutely shocked by her banning of alcoholic beverages from the executive mansion, from the White House. And the First Lady was dubbed Lemonade Lucy. That's what they called her. Lemonade Lucy. I think that goes too far back for the author of the Peanuts cartoon, Schultz, because isn't it Lucy that always manned the lemonade stand? I don't know. And she was absolutely unapologetic about her faith. She later told a friend, "I had three sons coming to manhood, and I did not feel I could be the first to put the wine cup to their lips." Among those displeased with her stand on the alcoholic beverages was Hayes' Secretary of State, who grumbled after one state dinner. He said, "It was a brilliant affair. The water flowed like champagne." Huh? President and Mrs. Hayes began each day with morning prayers. The President of the United States and his wife began each day with morning prayers, making no secret of their lifelong custom of family devotions. They ended most days with music and singing. They were devout Methodists. During their years in Washington, they attended the Foundry Methodist Episcopal Church. And when the Women's Missionary Society of the Methodist Episcopal Church was organized, Lucy became its first president. Sunday evenings at the White House were times of worship. Can you just picture this? Sunday evenings were times of worship. Hymn books were distributed amongst not only the family, but the staff. And Lucy sang vigorously the hymns of Philip Bliss and others before they finally retired for the evening. True story. Praise God, true story. It says in Psalm 98, verse 46, you don't have to turn there, but listen carefully. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing. Praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King." With trumpets. That's the first trumpet call in what we're looking at here today. That's the first trumpet call. Amazing. Is it really, with all that in mind, is it really time to retire? And I'm not speaking, I got to be crystal clear on this, because I am not talking about retiring from your work or from your job. I'm not talking about that. Not at all. Everybody's allowed to do that. I'm talking about not doing that same thing with your spiritual life. And there are a lot of people doing that. Backing off from the things of God. I've known several people who, when they got up in age, they figured it was time to retire from activity in the church, let's just say, and leave the church stuff to a younger generation. I can think of several people that have said that. People in my family, other people not in my family. People in our last church would say this kind of thing. "I'm backing off from this. I've done it for years. I'm old. Let somebody younger take over." And then they kind of ride off into the sunset. I'm telling you, that would not be God's way at all. We are not to retire ever from the things of God. There is plenty of work for everyone. Amen. In fact, come to think of it, exactly what does the Lord mean when he uses this word retire? What is he talking about? Well, let's take a look. In these last many months, we have been looking at biblical words that begin with R-E. You know that. We've been doing that since last Pentecost. I don't know. There's more to go. We just might do that till the next Pentecost. I don't know. But today we're doing one, and it's called retire. Retire. In some cases, it's in the past tense. It's retired. Okay? And in that, we've been discovering how God pressed and shaped those words as time moved along. Generally speaking, we found the conclusion of the matter to be in the New Testament, right? We've seen it through the Old Testament, and then we move to the New Testament, and God gets stronger about it. Well, as it turns out, it's not even in the New Testament this time. It's in the Old. But God still does the same thing with it. He grows it. And he strengthens it and gives it even more power and more meaning. The word retire isn't even found in the New Testament that I could find. So let's go where we first find it. We've been doing that, by the way, if you've noticed, and it's just about always been in Genesis. All these words, they're from the very beginning, okay? No, but the first one now is from 2 Samuel. And if you're still there, because that's what we had read, 2 Samuel chapter 11, there's the story of David's sin with the beautiful Bathsheba. And you basically know the story. He saw her, he was enamored by her. He called her on up, and they ended up having an affair. She ended up getting pregnant. And then David tried to cover his tracks. Was he right in doing so? Absolutely not. It was sin. And that got pointed out to him later, and he repented. Psalm 51 makes it real clear. He repented, and he didn't do it again. See, that's what repentance is. A change of heart, a change of mind, a change of direction, and you don't do it again. So why are people repenting of something and then repenting and repenting and repenting of the same thing? No, true repentance says you're not going to do it again. You recognize it's a sin, a big sin. Praise God. But it says in verse 15, it says, you know, he wrote a letter and he told Joab, go ahead and, well, I should maybe mention the other instance. He invited Uriah back from the front lines, figuring he'd go in to be with his wife. And then lo and behold, she ends up expecting. And everybody would say, well, that's back when he had that furlough, you know. And he wouldn't go to the house because, you know, all of the other men were still there on the front lines, and you know, he wasn't going to do that. So he didn't go down. Two nights he didn't go down. All right. And David's still trying to cover up the affair. So he writes a letter and sends it with Uriah before he sends him back to the battle. And the letter is for Joab, who's the commander of the armies. Okay. And it says, set ye Uriah, this is verse 15, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle. He's on the front lines, but put him where he's really going to be in danger. You know, where they're just definitely going to get at him. And retire ye from him. There's the word, retire. Retire ye from him. It's a retreating. It's a backing off. If everybody else backs off, everybody of the enemy is going to be shooting at Uriah. And once Uriah is dead, then David would be free to take his wife as his wife. Because the husband's gone. This is not only with sin, this was sin to cover up sin. Which, by the way, generally is what happens. If you're trying to cover up sin, you're probably going to sin in covering up the sin. All right? Retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die. And that's exactly what happened. In this case, the word comes with the idea of retreating. The Hebrew word, now listen carefully, is shub. Anybody ever heard of that word before? Shub. We've talked about it twice already. We've run into it twice in these last several weeks. Shub, and here it is again. A word that we have seen before. Okay? It means to turn back or away, but not necessarily with the idea of returning to the starting point. Remember that definition? Everybody? Are you hearing me? Do you remember that definition? Oh, I'm going to have to really pound this stuff, aren't I? All right? No, we've talked about it just a couple weeks ago, in fact. To turn back or away, but not necessarily with the idea of returning to the starting point. Okay? Now, we saw that a couple of different times. Uriah, in this case, did not have to go back to the very place where he had signed up to serve in the king's army, you know, in order to go back and fight for the king. He didn't have to go back to the beginning. See, that's the idea of this word, shub. Well, all right, but there's another one. And these are all different Hebrew words, by the way. Turn over to Jeremiah, please. Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Okay? Jeremiah, and it is important that you see these things, so go ahead and turn there and watch the wording. Now, your version might not actually have the word retire, but it will be what is translated retire in the King James. For example, the New King James in that last one said, you know, retreat. But that's the idea of what retire is. Okay? So let's take a look at Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 5 to 6. We find this: declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. There it is again. There's the second trumpet call. Second trumpet call. Blow ye the trumpet in the land. Gather together and say, assemble yourselves. Now listen carefully to the language here. And say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the defense cities, the walled cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and great destruction. The upcoming Babylonian captivity, I think, is what's being pictured here, especially the walled cities that were in the rural areas, not just Jerusalem, but other towns that had walls, like Jericho, for example. Of course, by this time, it didn't have much of a wall. But other cities did have defenses. They had defenses. Sounds like I'm saying, you know, the fences. No, it's a wall, okay, and for protection and for safety. And the rural inhabitants during this time of captivity or, you know, the siege against Jerusalem could retire to relative safety. Now, eventually, when the city is taken, many people are hauled away. But I'm talking about in the event of this upcoming siege, many people could go to these walled cities and find protection. Okay, and here the Hebrew word is, and you're not hardly going to believe this, but the Hebrew word is ooze. Ooze. O-O-Z-E. Just like you would think. All right? It's not the slime that you could buy in Walmart. No, it's not. The Hebrew word is ooze. It speaks of being strong and being saved by flight from the enemy, by running away from the enemy. It's once again the idea of retreating, but it's a stronger word. Okay? These people are retreating to these walled cities and getting inside to find protection. Amen? By extension, let me suggest to you that it's a place of gathering yourself with others. I think it's a very powerful picture of the church. Even in the Old Testament, it's a powerful picture of the body of Christ, of people gathering together with the protection of the walls. That's stronger than anything we've seen so far. So blow ye the trumpet. Amen? So everybody knows about it. Praise the name of Jesus. And we're not done yet. So far, we've been looking at the present tense. It's been the word retire. But now we move into a couple instances of the past tense, meaning retired. Retired. Okay, ED. We're switching to the past tense. We go all the way back to Judges 20. See how we're kind of making a circle? We're kind of cutting back now. We were in Samuel, and then we went to Jeremiah, and now we're cutting back over to Judges, which is even before Samuel. Does everybody see that? This is on purpose. This is God taking us full circle. Praise God. All right? So what's going on here? Well, it turns out this is in Judges chapter 20. All right, Judges chapter 20. We'll get to the specific verse in just a minute. We go all the way back to Judges 20. The tribe of Benjamin had committed a grievous sin for which punishment was inevitable. Look at verse 39. Verse 39. And when the men of Israel retired in the battle, retired in the battle, once again, the idea of retreating, but still more strong even, Benjamin began to smite and kill of the men of Israel. And the Bible goes on to mention specifically 30 persons. This retreating, this backing off would get nobody anywhere because it was part of the plan of God. It was, could I call it a trap? I don't want to make it sound negative by calling it a trap, but it was in a sense a trap. But it was consistent with the heart of God. God was going to show these people who's boss. And who is boss? God. Amen? The Hebrew word here is kafak. Kafak. K-A-H-F-A-K. And it means to turn about or to turn over. It means to change, to overturn, to return, to pervert, to convert, to tumble, to retire. Literally, now here's literally what it's saying, to make a bed. What? To make a bed? What is that all about? You know, I'm not talking about getting up in the morning, you know, and straightening up your covers, you know, making the bed. I'm not talking about that. I'm sure you have heard the old saying, you made your bed, now sleep in it, now rest in it, now lie in it. A lot of different ways that is said, but you made your bed, now sleep in it. You see, the fact of the matter is, sin not repented of brings nothing but trouble. Amen? And if Benjamin wasn't going to repent, it was trouble. Serious trouble. In a sense, I guess you could say that it is our sin that we need to retire. Amen? You're going to retire something spiritually. Retire the sin. Amen? Get rid of it. Praise God. And lastly, and I know I'm going quickly through these, but you can look them up later. You know, I've given them all to you. You can look them up. 2 Samuel. That's where we started. 2 Samuel. Only this is chapter 20. Okay. 2 Samuel chapter 20. Let me make sure. Yes, there it is. Yes. 2 Samuel chapter 20. Turns out there was this revolt that developed and was leading the people of Israel to revolt against God. And there was a fellow by the name of Sheba, it says in verse 1, and there happened to be there a man of Belial, meaning a man of Satan, okay, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite, and he blew a trumpet. He blew a trumpet. Amen? But what was it for? It says he blew a trumpet to call everybody away from David. We have no part in David. Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel. That's rebellion. That's a revolt. And he uses the trumpet to signal it. And then, and this is kind of like payback as far as God is concerned. Turn to verse 22. Then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba. This was the bad guy, everybody. They cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and cast it out to Joab, who was the commander of the armies. And he blew a trumpet. He blew a trumpet. So really, including the payback here in verse 22, there are, in a sense, four trumpet calls. However, three of them were to get the people to wake up. That third one, before we get to the fourth one, was a sign of rebellion. The Hebrew here is, and you're not going to believe this either, it's poots. That's the Hebrew word, poots. In the English, the transliteration is P-O-O-T-S, poots. Strange, huh? You know what it speaks of? Listen carefully. It speaks of something being dashed to pieces, something disposed of, something shaken, something scattered, something spread abroad. I want to ask you, do you see what's going on here? We have come full circle from present tense to past tense. The word retire became more emphatic, more devastating at the same time. I mean, did you hear it? Nowhere have we been talking about something being ripped apart and discombobulated and destroyed, and, you know, except now. Except now. This word has gone full circle. Full circle. Isn't that odd? I mean, before we saw this word, these words ending in the New Testament, and you can figure, okay, God's saying, you know, in Jesus, this thing is full, and so forth. But this one doesn't involve the New Testament. This one just goes full circle in the Old Testament. And I think that's just as powerful. The trumpet call, of course, is to retire from the world and its ways. That's not what's his name over here, Sheba, was doing when he blew the trumpet. He was trying to call people away from the spiritual leadership, David, right? But Joab blows the trumpet once more, and it says they retired from the city, every man to his tent, and Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. Isn't that good news, everybody? The trumpet call is going to lead us to the king. Amen. And to the king's city, which is Jerusalem. Praise the name of Jesus. So it's a matter of retiring from the world and its ways, and at the same time falling back into the everlasting arms of an almighty God and be enveloped by his love. Huh? Amen. Now, the Blisses, the Bliss family, and the Hayeses, the Hayes family, that's just what they did. Isn't that what they were about? They were about falling back into the everlasting arms of an almighty God and being enveloped by his love. They had church in the White House on Sunday night. Praise the name of Jesus. The Hayeses did. But you know what hymns they were singing? The Blisses hymns. In part. Amen? And it should be no different for the rest of us as well. Amen? So is it time to retire? And as I said before, we're not talking about retiring from a job. We're talking about retiring from the things of God. And no, it is not time to retire. Amen? Amen? It's time to keep moving on God's way. Praise the name of Jesus. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the call here today, this call to retirement. Help us to know, dear God, that you are indeed looking for us to find the rest that we truly do need in the work of God. The world can get us all tied up in knots. We can get all stressed out. We can get all, you know, really not knowing which end is up and which side is right and all the rest of it. But Lord, if we'll just focus on serving you, dear God, you will make the whole thing right. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. I want to thank you, Lord, for the call to retire from this world, not from Jesus. So I thank you, Lord. In your precious name, dear God, we pray all of this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.